If you have your Bible, you can open it up to Mark chapter 4 and the 14th chapter, Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start with the 14th verse. Now, I was speaking to the pastor last week of the church, and I said, Pastor, you know, he had a message, and he was talking about being tested and tried. And I said, Pastor, when is the harvest? You know, I'm like, man, we've been hearing about tests and trials. And I said, when is the harvest? He said, the harvest is upon us. And I said, thank God, because see, God has been putting that in my spirit that the harvest was upon us. And we're going to be talking about the harvest this morning. See, the Bible says, out of the mouth of 2 to 3 witnesses shall every word be established. So I'm believing God for that harvest. Amen? Amen. Man, I wish I had somebody with me this morning. Maybe if I sit down, it'll resonate a little bit more. Maybe I'm a little too excited for you this morning. You know, the harvest is coming. See, we've been planting seeds, and we've been tested, and we've been tried, but it's harvest time. I hope you're excited about the harvest. See, I'm excited about the harvest. See, we do all this planning, and a lot of times we're not hopeful for the harvest. But I'm believing God for this ministry and in my family that the harvest is coming. The harvest is coming. I hope you got Mark 4:14. We're going to get to that in a minute. You know how sometimes you go watch a movie, and if you miss the beginning of the movie, you don't even know what's going on. You're like, what happened? I don't get it. So I'm gonna start with the beginning of a movie. So just make sure you pay attention to this, because this is important when it comes to the message. Amen? During the 1990s, violent crime declined across the United States of America. All across the U.S. For some easy to understand reason, there was a crackdown on drugs. There was a dramatic economic recovery. So those people who were in between, like, hey, I'll steal if I got to, or I'll mug somebody if I have to, there were jobs for them to be able to get to. So that helped crime decline. And then the population also got older. You know, it was not as many young people as there were. But there was a sharp decline in crime in New York City. Now, I promise you this has something to do with the message if you just stay with me. The weird part about this was that in New York, the economy was stagnant. It didn't get any better. The population wasn't older, it was younger, because immigration made it so it was getting younger. And certainly while drugs might have been a factor of being reduced, it didn't make sense because there was a steady decline in drugs, but yet crime wasn't declining like that. But all of a sudden there was a sharp decline in crime. So people were trying to figure out what happened. You know, regardless of what you think about, you know, all of the stuff I'm talking about, a lot of times we want things to take off fast, right? So New York, they couldn't figure it out. Now, many of us are believing God for some kind of harvest and some desires that we have in our heart. We're looking for big moves in our current situation. There's something called a broken windows theory. If a window is broken and left unrepaired, here's the thought process. If a window, if you walk through a neighborhood and a window is broken and it's left unprepared, people walking by will conclude that no one is in charge and no one cares, and soon more windows will be broken. They're like, man, ain't nothing going on around here. I'm going to go ahead and break me a window too. This theory in practice is like, muggers and robbers, whether they're opportunistic or whether they're professional, they believe they reduce their chances of being caught or identified if they work in conditions similar to this. Essentially, the broken window theory is crime is contagious. They're like, well, ain't nobody calling about this broken window. They ain't calling about this stuff on the streets. Well, I robbed somebody. Man, these people used to get robbed, so it ain't no big deal. In the mid-80s, the broken window theory was put into practice in New York. And New York was undergoing a massive subway system transformation. They needed to change how the transportation industry was. So they decided to do it two-step. So they brought a guy in to fix the subway system. This guy's name was David Gunn. And they told him that, hey, we got a violent crime problem, and we got a subway reliability problem. You need to fix those things. He said, I'm not going to start there. Now, it doesn't make any sense. And they're like, what? That sounds like good advice. What are you talking about? Those are our problems. He says, I'm going to start with the graffiti problem. So you got a graffiti problem on the subway. And like, well, hold on a second. Graffiti problem? We got way bigger problems than some paint going on some cars and in some cars. And he said, no. He says, he put a system in place. He said, when a train goes out and it comes back to the end of the line, we're going to clean that car out and send it back graffiti free. If we can't, we're taking it out. We're not about to have people in our cars. We got to get this thing under control. They would have kids break into the yards where they keep the subway cars. It took them 3 days to paint the side of the cars. They would come, paint it white one day. Then the next day they would come, make the outline. And then the third day, they would go color it in. Man, that's like a job. That's a lot of work to be doing that. They would, and so they decided, we're going to let the kids do that. And then right when they're done, we're going to walk up and just paint over their work. Decide to try to break their spirit, you know, and make them not want to do that. So they said, we got a graffiti problem. They're going to fix the graffiti problem. That was step one. It doesn't sound, see, we want to harvest. And a lot of times, that sounds like something so small, and we don't want to make those changes because we're so focused on some of the big things. Stage two of the cleanup, and I'm almost done with this, and we're going to jump into the word. Felony crimes were at an all-time high in New York, in the subway system. So the guy decided, you know what, our next order of business, we're going to stop fare beating. That's people going on and not paying, and getting on the subway and not paying. They estimated that 170,000 people per day were entering without paying. Now, fare beating was a crime. Man, it was $1.25. So the cops didn't even want to bother with the paperwork. They're like, man, this is going to be a slap on the wrist. Ain't nothing going to happen from this. Why am I going to be arresting people for $1.25 crime when ain't nothing going to happen? But he said, no, we have to make sure that we stop the fare beaters. Because there's people walking in that wouldn't even normally walk in. But they're like, well, I got to pay if they don't have to pay. So they put 10 plainclothes police officers at stations where fare beating was the highest. They would arrest fare beaters one by one, handcuff them, and line them up till they had a full load, and then haul them off to jail. This thing got so crazy, they retrofitted a city bus so they could book them right then and there. They had fax machines and all kind of stuff, fingerprinting, all kind of stuff, so they could charge these people and get them on their way. They noticed something. 1 in 7 people had a warrant for their arrest already, so they were able to clean up the streets. And 1 in 20 had a weapon. They tripled the arrest for drunkenness and improper behavior. See, broken windows is based on the premise that an epidemic can be reversed or tipped by tinkering with the smallest of details, the things that seem minute. See, we got broken windows in our lives, right? Some things that are stopping the harvest from coming to fruition. Well, see, we're so worried about the big things that there's some small things that we need to fix up in order to reap our harvest. Amen? Amen. How many is ready to reap a harvest this morning?
Amen. Amen.
And I wish I had somebody ready to reap a harvest this morning, because God is ready to do something for his people. Amen? There are all kinds of harvests in our lives. I don't know what you've been believing God for. You've planted some seeds of love, some seeds of joy, some seeds of finances, and you're wondering when they're going to blossom. Maybe it's a new job you've been believing God for. You're like, God, I've been doing what I got to do. Maybe it's a new car that you've been believing God for. Maybe it's a new romance that you believe in God for. I don't know what it is that you've been believing God for, but I know that the harvest is coming. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. It says, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. See, Satan here doesn't mean the devil. It means adversary. The adversary has come. So you planted a seed, and the adversary has come up against you. Now, a lot of times, the adversary is ourselves. So, step number one For us to reap our harvest is we have to start guarding our ears and our tongue. I wish I had somebody else to do what that was like. See, we are letting too many things be the voice in our lives. People that don't even have our best interest, or we think they should have our best interest. See, we listen to all this noise that we're taking in, and it's stopping us from reaping our harvest. We're listening to ourselves, even though we know, like, God, I believe you, whatever. And then all of a sudden, we're like, oh, no, but you can't do it. You ain't go to school long enough. And you, man, you ain't had nobody. You ain't this, you ain't that. All this stuff starts to happen. See, the Bible says, delight in him, and he'll give us the desires of our heart. It didn't say that it'll give us the desires of somebody else's heart. So it don't matter what they say. It's your harvest. You might be believing God for something crazy, and people just can't understand it. But you got to guard your ears and heart. See, if you don't guard your ears and heart, that things, that seed you planted starts to be shaky. And that seed starts to come up a little bit, and it's not in there long enough for a harvest to take place. Maybe you've already gotten your harvest. But I haven't got mine, and I'm believing God for it. And I know I have to guard my ears and heart for it. See, a lot of times we think we're not good enough. You're not good looking enough. Oh, ain't nobody got that problem. I said, maybe that's just me sometimes. You know? Man, all right. Yeah, I said, not good enough. You're like, okay. Thank God I ain't got that problem. Okay. Amen. I feel you on that. But that's a good thing. Well, we got to get these defeatist attitudes out of our mind. See, the Bible says you don't need to turn here. You stay in Mark. But in Galatians 5:9, it says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little bit. That's sourdough. You put a little sourdough in the whole thing, and guess what you got? You got a sour batch of bread. See, we've been putting a little leaven in our seed, and our harvest has been sour. We haven't been getting what we want because we got a little bit of leaven in there. It don't take much. All it takes is one look in the mirror and say, oh man, I ain't good enough. Oh man, I ain't go to school long enough. Oh man, I've been at this job 20 years. Ain't nothing. I've been asking God for so long, ain't nothing gonna happen. All it takes is a little leaven. It's leaveneth the whole lump. I wish I had somebody that knew what I was talking about this morning. Maybe you don't have a little leaven in yours. Maybe this isn't your problem, but we have to guard our ears and our tongue. We have to. This is Jesus right here talking as we're going through it. We dealt with verse 14 and 15, and we went to Galatians 5 and 9. This says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and we're about to go. I'm going to tell you in a minute. Let me just put this. We're going to James 3 and 4. You don't have to go there. I'm going to put it up here for you. And this is more so you can understand what we're talking about. It says, behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whither theresoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. See, we have to guard our tongue. See, this is saying that a big ship is even turned by a small little helm. It's really saying the same thing as a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. But we have to guard our tongues. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? We have to speak light into ourselves, even if it sounds like a lie at the time. Sometimes you got to prophesy to yourself, even though it doesn't feel like you can do it. You got to convince yourself. You got to look in that mirror and say, I'm getting me a new job. And then a couple minutes later, and you got to get back in, I'm getting me one. We got to start believing it, because we got to prophesy in our own lives. Guess what? We will always look external for things. We like, man, God, come on, you can do something else. We got to start looking in here. The adversary is from within a lot of times. We look at our situations, and guess what? You know what? I talk about finance a lot, because guess what? A lot of times, that's what really drives our thinking. We like, man, I ain't got no money for that, man. You kidding me?
It starts there. We got dreams and goals. Man, I want to buy a house, but I'm going to buy a house. I ain't got no money.
Huh. All right. Well, okay. Guess that ain't going to happen.
See, we start feeling these things. We got to talk life into ourselves.
I love the fact that God is talking to his people. See, the adversary is not the economy. It's not someone who won't do something for you in your opinion. It's your ears and tongue. That's the broken window we need to fix for our harvest. It seems small. But so, guess what else seems small? Graffiti. That seems small. That didn't seem like a big deal. Arresting people for $1.25 fare. That seems small. But a lot of times it's these small things that open up and allow for the harvest to come to fruition. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're back in Mark, and we're going to go with verse 16. It says, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure before a time, afterward when affliction or persecution arises, or the word's sake, immediately they are offended." See, verse 16 is talking about immediate gratification. See, we get real excited when we get a word at first. When we get inspired and we like, yes, I'm going to do it. And we start to see a little bit of progress and we like, yeah, because the end goal is so exciting. That's what verse 16 is talking about. See, we have heard the word and immediately we receive it with gladness. See, a lot of times you've had things and ideas that you wanted to happen and then you get real excited. But you got to have some root in yourself is what verse 17 is talking about. See, we have to endure but for a time. See, a lot of times we can't wait long enough because we're like, man, God, this is too long. And we start to think that our dream and our goal that we had, and we missed the harvest because we dig the seed up. Ain't nobody else done that before. See, they will endure temporarily, but when tribulation comes, they stumble. That's what this is saying. When tribulation comes, we begin to stumble. You know what I love about this verse 17? Is why the tribulation comes. It says, affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. See, that thing you want in your life, that tribulation you're going through, it needs to happen. This is what Jesus is telling the disciples. He's saying that tribulation is designed for you to be able to get what you need. Amen. We got to stop digging up the seed. Yeah. So number two is we got to have grit. We got to display grit. See, grit is a personality trait possessed by individuals who demonstrate passion and perseverance toward a goal, despite being confronted by significant obstacles. Do you have grit? Or have you not understood that Jesus has this design for you to be able to go through something so that seed can get deep rooted and then you can get your harvest. Amen? I'm often fascinated with products and things, whatever. And I've talked about this before, but you know, WD-40 is an amazing product, man. You can use that on anything, man. Just, I don't care what you got, squeaky, whatever you got going on, throw some WD-40. Between that and duct tape, man, you got the whole tube belt. You know? You do. Now, the thing I love about WD-40 is the name. See, because they didn't forget the struggle it took to get there. See, WD-40 stands for water displacement 40th attempt. See, a lot of times in your life, you stop at number four. And you never see the harvest because you won't make it to 40. But see, God is looking for some people with a grit who say, you know what? I'm going to stand on your promise, God. I'm going to stand on your word, God. And I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going to let my ears and tongue talk me out of this. And I'm going to have some grit. See, they kept the name because they understood that there was power in that struggle. You got a struggle going on right now. But there's a harvest at the end of it. You might be on attempt 33. You might be on attempt 47. But if you stand and believe God to move, yeah, he's going to move.
Amen.
It's not easy to believe. Think about it. When you're on a 1030, you're like, man, I got it now. We did it. It's better. And then it starts not working. You're like, man, okay, maybe it ain't in the cards, God. We do that with matters of the heart all the time. We've been wanting somebody, and we get somebody, and we like, oh, yeah. And then it fails, and we're like, okay, God, you want me to be alone all my life. People have purpose. We have to understand God has a plan. And we got to stop worrying about our plans. Are you pushing through your failures? Man, I have so many failures, I can't even count them. Man, it's just crazy how many failures I've had. But I thank God for them, because guess what? That's the only way we're going to see the harvest, if the people of God, if we have grit. Amen. It's not an easy thing to have. And I'm not telling you something that I'm not preaching to you or at you. I'm preaching to me, and I hope you catch some of it. You know? Listen, if there's a little bit left after it leaves, and I hope you catch some of it. But I know how it happens. See, now, the Bible shows us, I could have had 28 verses up here about supporting this, but I'll stick with two. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I wish somebody knew that. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10 says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See, sometimes we think that things aren't for us and we're feeling weak, but God is there to make us strong. Amen?
Yeah.
See, I was reminded of the story of Abraham. See, God sometimes will push you to your limit. At least what we think our limit is. He'll do it. He's going to make you make sure you're sincere. Like, how bad do you want this? You say you love me. You say you want this. Well, how bad do you really want it? Well, we wanted it this quick a lot of times. We don't want to be able to push through. But see, God, and with Abraham and Isaac, I was looking at that and I said, man. See, God waited until he got all the way up there. Abraham thought he was about to sacrifice his son. And he got all the way up, ready to do it. And then God stepped in. See, we haven't gotten far enough yet. We're still in shallow waters. We need to get in some deep waters, amen. See, you might be believing, maybe you got a business, maybe you got something else going on, and it feels like you're in deep water, but guess what it says? For then when I am weak, then I am strong, amen. I wish somebody knew what I was talking about, that weak feeling, that weary feeling. Sometimes we get, and we don't even understand if we can go on, and God steps in. You know, I'm wrestling on whether I should say this or not, but I'm going to say it because I think it's purposeful for people. You know, my grandfather passed away earlier this year, and it was hard on a lot of people in my family, really my whole family, and it was really hard on my cousin. I see my cousin, she had, and I don't have this nowhere on the paper, so I don't need to look, know this story. But, you know, something strange happened. She was going through. And, I mean, I go over her house sometimes, she cried. I'm like, man, you better get on up out of here, girl. Come on. You know? And, you know, I'm not, believe me, if you got a problem, you don't want to come see me. My family can tell you, I'm not the sensitive counselor. I'm the like, hey, man, get it together. Let's go. Come on. Keep pushing. You know, so, that gene missed me, I guess. All right, you know, you come to me for a pep talk, man, you in trouble, because I'm going to leave you, and I'm going, man. At any rate, I digress. You know, so I went over to my cousin's house, and I'm giving her, you know, my normal, all right, get it together, man. It's time, man. Look, that was 30 days ago. Come on, you know, that's my infinite wisdom, you know. And my cousin was going through this alone. Right? Nobody could really understand that she was going through it alone. But see, God put a man in her life to be able to help her through this. Your purpose is served. Now you can go on, Larry. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just teasing.
But no, I was totally kidding. Jeez. No, but out of nowhere, God stepped in and gave her somebody to talk to, gave her somebody to kind of help through this. Because sometimes we weep, and sometimes God will lift us up and he'll use other people to do it, because sometimes we get so caught up in what's going on and we like, man, we can't do it. So God is the ship to rescue us. And I thank God that he did that. We got to start pushing through. Amen? In verse 18, it says, and these are they which are sown among thorns. These are seeds we're talking about, such as hear the word. And verse 19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word and becomes unfruitful. The third thing we need to do is stop with all of the distractions or the shiny object syndrome. See, a lot of times God has something for us, but we get so caught up in all these things going on around us, whether it's lust of other things entering or deceitfulness of riches, whatever it is, because we are all over the place and we just hope something stick. We like, God, you're going to bless me with a business, and we go on and we like, okay, well, maybe it ain't a business, God, that ain't happening. You're going to bless me with a good job? Okay. Well, then, oh, man, I ain't got a good job yet. Oh, maybe, God, you're going to bless me with somebody that's going to pay all my bills. Or you ain't did that, God. Maybe I'm going to hit the lottery. We start getting all over the place. We got to get focused in the things of God. We got to stop being a distraction. See, worry and anxiety has no place in your garden. The harvest ain't coming with all the worry and anxiety on top of it. See, Jesus is teaching this right now in this text to his disciples. He's teaching this word. And it's crazy because a lot of times we get so distracted, we can't figure out what's going on. We don't even believe. We believe God for a minute and then it don't happen, and we our excitement starts to dissipate and we're like, man, I don't know what's going on here. It's time for us to get focused. God needs a people that are going to be focused and do things. You know what? It's hard for people. You know why it's harder for people to come to church? Because church people say God can do anything, but we don't actually live it. Because we stop so quick. We stop so quick. And so I'm telling you, hey, brother, God can do anything. But in my life, I ain't believing that. I'm doing something else. I'm distracted by all these other things. So how are we going to expect a non-believer to step in and say, well, let that God you serve, let me see what that's about. That's why people will come to church. They got a real problem. Life hard. They're like, man, I'll try anything. And they'll come to church. And then things are the same when they leave, and they're like, oh, that ain't work. I'm moving on to something else. See, it ain't about coming one time. I wish church, man, if church solved all our problems, why come back? You're like, oh, to praise God. Oh, I'm sorry. You holy ears in. Okay, I get it. You know, but what I'm saying is, if church, man, if church solved it all, you come here and be like, I mean, in one visit, that's what we want from God all the time. In one visit, we like, Lord, I felt that. Or we came and we got a word from the Lord, and we like, Lord, you'll do it. All right, amen. And then I ain't coming back. We'll see. I'll see you when I need another one. God is looking for people that will stop with the distractions and get focused on the things of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But it's harvest time. See, I love this about God. See, we've been seeds all over the place, some on rocky ground, some on all kind of places and thorns and all this other kind of stuff. But sometimes there's seeds that are sown on good ground. I like that part.
Yeah.
Such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. See, I believe in God for that good ground harvest that we got going on. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe it's 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, but I believe in God that the harvest is coming. How many believe in with me? Amen?
Amen?
I love God. Look at verse 26. It says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. If a man should cast seed into the ground, verse 27, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up,
he knoweth not. See, you don't know how the harvest is coming.
Right.
Yeah. You just got to plant the seed.
Yeah.
You don't know how God's going to do it. See, we be trying to figure it out. We like, well, God, you're going to do this. I got a master's degree, so clearly I'm smart, so you're going to use this thing that I got going on. We don't know how God going to show up. We got to stop worrying about it.
Amen.
We just got to plant the seed. Amen?
Amen.
We got to plant the seed. I'm almost done here. But I want to show you, because there's probably some people that are still believing that you've done so much. How can God do? Like, a lot of times we carry around this guilt and this shame. You're like, man, God, I know I say I love you, but I done messed up. I done did all this. See, we carry that stuff around, and we start to wonder if the harvest is coming. But let me show you something about Jesus. See, what happened was, he kind of told this parable in the beginning of chapter 4, and he explained it to the disciples and what we were talking about here. But let me show you what happened next. Let's go down to verse 35. It says, "And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over onto the other side." See, they were in a boat. And he said to them, hey, come on, let's go for a ride. Right? Now, most of the time, you'll start hearing, when somebody talks about this, you're going to go, they're going to start talking about how the boat was rocking and all of a sudden, peace be still. But that's not what we're talking about. Let's look at, whoops. All right, so I don't got the verses up there, but you got to just take my word for it. All right, going to 5:1. It says, and then, so they got in the boat, right? And then some things happened. But in 5:1 it says, and they came over into the other side, into this country. I didn't look at it. I can't pronounce it. Gadarenes or whatever. Sorry. I should have gotten with you before this. All right. And it says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now remember, he was just teaching the disciples on the other side. And he just says, hey, come on, let's take a boat ride. Right? So they go on to the other side. And there was this guy, and I'm going to paraphrase for you. I'm not going to read this whole thing to you. There was a guy that was in the mountains crying and cutting himself with stones. I mean, this guy, they couldn't keep this guy under control. He was crazy. I mean, that might sound like how you have been or are or have whatever. You know, you've been out of control at times. But guess what? He says, verse 6 says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. See, God's looking for a people who's going to run to him and worship him.
Yeah.
Not run away because the things that they've done they feel guilty about. God is looking for a people that's going to run towards him.
Come on.
I don't care what you've done.
Yeah.
You've got to run towards God. Yeah. He knows anyway what you're hiding for. You're like, God, no. Okay, he already knows. Now, see, this was a time, I love about this, this was a time that Jesus wasn't omnipresent. He was walking the earth. So he said, we got to take a boat ride to get to where we're going, right?
Yeah.
And this guy came to him and worshiped him. This guy that was out of control, like me and you at times, right?
Yeah.
Guess I'm the only one. I mean, y'all know God said be vulnerable, but man, I'm hoping I had a little help. All right. At any rate. All right. So, but I want you to look at verse 15. It says, and they come to Jesus and see him. See, Jesus cast out the demon, right? This guy was possessed, and then they put it in swine and all that kind of stuff. I'm skipping past some things in the story, but they're not relevant to what I'm trying to explain. They saw the guy sitting in his right mind. This guy they couldn't control. They knew it was a miracle. They saw him sitting in his right mind, and they were afraid. They're like, uh-oh. How is this guy normal right now, right? And they begin to pray. They wanted Jesus to get out. They're like, man, get on up out of here. I don't know what you got going on, right? Now, remember, this started with a boat ride. But let me jump down to verse 21. It says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side. See, the way the text read, it looks like Jesus got in the boat to be able to go cast those demons out. And then the next thing you read is Jesus is leaving. He didn't say he had any of the business there.
Right.
See, Jesus will come for you. Mm-hmm. Jesus took a boat ride for a guy who you most wouldn't think even deserved it.
Right.
If he don't take a boat ride because he's not omnipresent in the middle of a lesson, what do you think he'll do for you? Jesus left the other side and went back to save a man who most thought weren't worth saving. You think he won't do that for you? See those things, but we got to run to him and worship him. That was a requirement. That's all he did. He ran and worshiped the Lord, and God took care of the rest. In spite of what other people thought, in spite of all the things that were going on, and Jesus said, no, you don't come with me. You stay here and let people know what I did for you. Are you ready to let God know, or let people know what God did for you? See, the harvest is coming, whether you're ready or not. Your seed might as well be planted deep in there so you can reap the benefits. And we're going to all run to God no matter what's been going on in our life. We're going to run to him and we're going to worship him. And afterwards, guess what? We're going to tell the people what God did for us. Let's have everybody give him some praise. I wish you knew what I was talking about this morning. See, I don't care what trouble you're going through. Jesus is the answer. You know, I heard a preacher say, he says, you can't confuse the resource for the source. See, God is the source. And you might not like the resource that he's going to use, but guess what? It ain't up for us to decide. We got to run towards him. Are you ready to run towards God this morning? He's crossing the boat with his disciples as he's teaching. Go on to the other side to take care of this man. See, you might not feel worthy today. You might not feel like God should do anything for you, but I'm here to tell you you're worthy. You might not like the resource, but that's the source. I'm here to tell you you're worthy this morning. I'm here to tell you that you need to cast your cares upon him. I'm here to tell you it don't matter what you've done or who you've done it to. This man had demons all in his body. And guess what? The Lord Jesus spoke those demons out into some pigs and made them run into the river and drown. And people like, see what he did to my pig? Oh, God, you got to get up out of here, man. See, they were so focused on how Jesus did it that they didn't think about the miracle in the individual life. See, people, they're not going to care about your miracle. A lot of times they're not. But you're going to have to tell them anyway. Yeah. A lot of times that inner hater in them going to be like, oh, that's all the kind of car you got? That's a blessing. Yeah. And a lot of times, see, but if you don't guard your ears, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. God is looking for people that will run towards him. I wonder, how did he even know it was Jesus? This guy, they talk about he cut himself. They couldn't even bind him in chains. He was dead out of control. They had him up in the mountains. They're like, get this guy up out of here. He ain't no normal dweller. See, you might have been cast out, but Jesus is in control. He's here now. We got to run towards him now. How many ready to run towards him with me this morning? Let's give him some praise. Lord, we honor you. We praise you. We thank you. We lift you up. We magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Run towards him. Run towards him. Run towards him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For I am the God of all souls, of all flesh. All of my children. And all can see me and recognize me in a point of necessary need. And I am able to save. I am able to deliver. I am able to heal, for I am a mighty God. My arm is not short. My power has not diminished, but it is able. Only believe me. Keep your faith strong by staying in my word, and I shall be able to do whatsoever ye shall have need of. Seek me first, and I shall give you all that you have need of, saith the Lord. All right.
Let's give them some praise this morning. Hallelujah. It don't matter what you're going through. It really doesn't. God is in control. Amen. I'm going to ask that you stand up. I'm going to ask that you take your neighbor by the hand. Precious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. With open hearts, your people, Lord. Some of us have bruised hearts and broken hearts. You know, Lord. We run to you right now, Lord, lifting up your name, just as Jesus crossed the river, Lord, for one person. For one. We know what Jesus will do for us, Lord. We know it's harvest time right now in your people, Lord. We're asking that you open our hearts and minds to be able to receive you. That we seek you out, Lord. Hallelujah. That we give you praise. That we give you honor, Lord. That you touch each and every one that are here, Lord. And with the power of your anointing and people that aren't here, Lord. We ask that you touch them as well, Lord. That you lift them up. Lord, we stand here together unified, Lord. Yes. Knowing that you are the harvest, Lord.
Yes.
That you are the harvest, yes, that we're seeking, Lord. And that we planted, Lord. Hallelujah. And we're ready, Lord, as a united group here, whether we're members here or not, Lord. Believing you, Lord, to be able to do all things, Lord. In spite of how things look in our lives right now, Lord. We cast out right now those thoughts of destruction, Lord, that might be coming up against us, Lord. We cast out those words that we've been speaking over our own lives that are defeatist, Lord. We speak life right now, Lord. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Let's give them a hand clap of praise this morning. Let's give them a hand clap of praise this morning. You may be seated. Now's not the time to lose your religion just because it's offered time.